Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. And it says, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." Again, verse 8 says, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." How many of you are encouraged by that word right there? Amen. When I fall, I will arise. Title of my message for tonight, you can't keep a God man down. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can't keep a God man down. Of course, you know women are included in that. Amen. Amen. Can't keep a God person down. Amen. He said, "Don't gloat over me, my enemy, for when I fall, I will arise." Amen. Thank God, thank God, thank God. The Bible is filled with stories of people that it seemed like it was too late, seemed like their cases were too far gone, seemed like they had passed the time of when something could be done for them. And then God stepped into their situations when it seemed like they were beyond help, when it seemed like if something had been done earlier, maybe they could have had an answer. But then God came into that situation after they were written off by everybody, after they were written off by even people of faith. And they said, no, you know, after they were given, after people had given up on their case, God took pleasure, amen, in stepping into that situation, turning it around, and rising them up for his glory. And he's still the same God today. We're going to talk about some of those stories tonight. You know, the Bible says that we have an adversary. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you've got an adversary." Now, we're not rejoicing in that tonight, but like it or not, it is a fact. And you know, Paul even compared us to boxers. Did you ever read that in the Word? You know, I mean, boxing is a rough business nowadays, but back in the day, I mean, these guys were bare knuckle or leather straps, you know, wrapped around. And Paul, of all things, he chose some very interesting metaphors to compare the believer to: soldiers, boxers, wrestlers. I mean, it's always these people that had pretty, you know, have some very serious job descriptions. You know, I mentioned last night, my brother, who's a believer, and he doesn't, you know, he's a police officer, but after he was in the Marines, after he got out of the Marines, he had a brief amateur UFC MMA career. He fought 5 amateur fights, and he won 3, 2 by knockout. He fought at 205, and he doesn't do that anymore. He's got a family and stuff, and a pretty face he wants to keep, you know. So he's not into that business anymore. But you know, he told me some stories about fighting, and he told me this one fight he was in somewhere down in Pittsburgh, and there's this guy, and he came at him. And this was one of the ones that he lost, but he went the distance, though. He finished it. And this guy came at him, and he went at him with the roundhouse, and my brother came up to block it, and he hit himself with his own head, because there you know, with his own hand, he hit himself in the head, because there was so much force in this guy's kick. And he said, boom, you know, he said it almost knocked him out, just like you see in the cartoons. He sees stars, and he looked at the ropes across, and he just saw him going like this, you know, up and down. And he sees this guy kind of in double, and he's like, "Which one do I hit?" You know, the one in the center. You ever hear that? And so, you know, he said, "All I could do after that is just try to stay in the fight." Have you ever felt like that spiritually? Have you ever felt like that kind of got a hit, almost knocks you off your feet, and you're just thinking, "Man, I just got to stay on my feet." I've felt like that. You know, Paul compared us again. He compared us to boxers, and he said we've got an adversary, and he's out there. But this scripture that I just read said, "Don't gloat over me, my enemy, because if I fall, I will arise." Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that. You know, my brother, this is just a side note. My brother told me something else that was really interesting. How many of you know that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power? Amen. Did you know that, you know, they do a lot of cardio, these fighters, whether you're boxer or MMA or whatever, a lot of cardio. My brother went down from 240 to 205, lost 40 pounds, and jump a lot of rope and do a lot of, just a lot of cardio things. Like in a day before a fight, he would go 9 rounds, practice rounds, and he would fight every guy in the gym, or 9 guys from the gym. So he'd fight one guy in a round, then take a 2-minute break or whatever the break was between rounds. He goes out, bring a fresh guy in. He goes out, bring a fresh guy in. 9 fresh guys, one guy. And then he's like going 9 fresh guys. I called it running the gauntlet, you know. But they do a lot to build stamina, because once they would go to the fight, they would have so much fear that 50% of their stamina would be eaten up just by fear. They knew that. 50% of your training stamina is going to be used up by fear when you get in the ring. Think about that. They say that's why Muhammad Ali always said, I'm the greatest, I'm the best, like psychologically psyching himself up to try to overcome some of that fear factor. So we're talking about our adversary tonight, talking about rising up, you know, not a boxing class, but yet there is spiritual metaphor here. Isn't that right? Amen. And there is an adversary, and God has not given us a spirit of fear. Boy, that's a pretty close parallel too, isn't it? Fear, it'll eat up a lot of your strength, won't it? When you're facing an enemy, fear will eat up your stamina, your will to fight, your ability to stand. Boy, fear is tiring. Have you ever got emotionally tired? I mean, you felt like you went out and ran a mile, but it's just the emotions, you know, it just sucked the energy out of you. Amen. But this scripture encouraged me because I thought, man, if I get knocked down, he said, I will arise. Everybody say, I will arise. If I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light, the scripture says. Amen. He'll shine his light on me. Different translations say it different ways. But it's encouraging to know this man, even though he was in a battle, even though that he'd been knocked, even if he gets knocked down, the writer, even if something happens to him, even if he finds himself in darkness, he took great confidence in the fact that the Lord is his light and he would rise up. Amen. Thank God you can't keep a God man down. Now, the Bible tells us this, don't be strong in your own strength, but be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Amen. It's not about physical strength. It's not about even just willpower, but it's about the strength that God gives. Paul was always talking about this. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then again, he said, like I said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Not my power, not your power, in his mighty power. There is a strength that comes from God that could make you a victor in every challenge that you'll face in your life. There is a strength that is, it's not the source of it is not you. The source of it is not your personality, not your human nature. It is a strength that comes from God. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, so that you can stand and so that you can rise up even in the darkness, so that you could come up out of those situations where it seems like everybody's given up and it seems like a hopeless case and it seems like nothing else can be done, and you can rise up from that place and go on with God and do everything that he's called you to do. Amen. I think of a couple stories here tonight. I think of the story of Jairus. Anybody ever hear of it? Jairus in the Bible. Jairus was had a very sick daughter. Man, the devil's a bad devil. We prayed with a girl this afternoon. We went to her house. She had some horrible disease. She was battling with some horrible disease. The doctors could not. They kind of knew what it was, but they didn't know what was going to happen next, and they're having trouble identifying it. But just has pain if you touch her anywhere. We couldn't even lay hands on her because of there was pain and stuff inside of her skin and nerve problems and things like that. Loud noises would be disturbing. Things like that. And I saw this condition. Young girl, 15, and how it was just hurting her life in so many ways. And, you know, that's what the devil looks like, isn't it? You know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What does Jesus look like? He looks like healing. He looks like setting people free. He looks like making them even just feel good in their physical body. What's the devil look like? Making people, stealing people's life, stealing their strength, stealing their potential, you know. And that's what he looks like. But so the story with Jairus, it was like that. His daughter was sick and at the point of death, but he heard about Jesus, and somebody had told him that Jesus could help him. So he goes to Jesus and he says, my daughter is at home and she's at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her and she will live. Amen. So he had a lot of expectation and expectancy when he came to the Father, when he came to Jesus, excuse me. Come lay your hands on her and she will live. Now, on the way, Jesus says, yes, I'll come. On the way back, they meet the woman with the issue of blood. She touches the hem of Jesus' garment, and power goes out of Jesus and heals her in her body and makes her whole. Thank God. And Jesus says to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. I take great encouragement in that. If her faith made her whole, my faith and your faith could make us whole. Isn't that right? And so then that happened. And then they go on, and Jesus continues to the house of Jairus to go minister to his daughter. On the way, the servants from the house come, and they say, don't trouble the master any longer. She's no longer sick, but now she's dead. The girl has died. Don't trouble the master any longer. And basically what they were saying is, this situation, it's too hard. It's out of God's reach. You know, even Jesus can't do something about it. It's gone past the point of time where anything could be done. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like in your life that you were too far gone, that you were past the point of time where anything could be done about your situation? Maybe it's a healing situation where you just think, it's been like this so long. I've had to deal with it so long. I just can't see anything changing. Thank God how long that you've dealt with something has nothing to do with God's ability to destroy it and get it out of your life. It doesn't matter if it's been there for 15 minutes, 15 years, or 15 decades, whatever the case, it doesn't make it any harder for God to reverse. Amen. He could do it in an instant. Doesn't matter how far it's progressed. Doesn't matter how long it's gone. Maybe it's just your whole life. Maybe you think, well, you know, they say, I've always been like this. Whatever it is, you know, I don't see how I'm ever going to change. And then people in the world, they say, you know, I've heard it many times. People never change. People don't change. I've got news for you. People change because God can change a person. People can change. Oh, people never change. They're always the same. No, that's a lie from the devil. People change because when you're born again, the Bible says old things pass away and all things become new. That's a change. Isn't that right? It's a change. God can change people. I just think even my grandmother, she was a believer. I love this story. My dad's mom, she's gone on to be with Jesus, but she was a believer, but she never went to church. I remember when I used to stay at her house on a weekend when I was growing up, she would watch Robert Schuller once in a while on Sunday morning, and she'd say, that was my pastor. Remember Robert Schuller? Don't just sit there, do something, you know? And, she'd watch Crystal Cathedral, you know, world-class theologian, Robert Schuller. And we'd watch it, and she'd say, that's my pastor, you know, never really went to church faithfully and stuff. But, you know, believed in the Lord, but didn't have a really strong walk with the Lord and things like that. But something happened when she was in her 70s already, well up in her 70s, my grandfather died. And because she didn't have a church, she asked my parents' pastor, who was a Four Square pastor, to do the funeral for her. And this pastor did the funeral, and he did it. And my grandmother was so blessed by the funeral that immediately after that funeral, starting the next Sunday, she began to attend his church. And she attended his church on Sunday. She attended his church on Wednesday. She didn't drive. She rode the bus in her 70s to his church, joined the seniors group, became a faithful member. Saw her, she would raise her hands in service. Wasn't raised with that. Didn't grow up with that. She's in her 70s. Went her whole life without ever doing anything like that. Now she's raising her hands like a Pentecostal man, sitting in the church, worshiping God like she'd been doing it her whole life. Then she came down with cancer. Went to the doctors, and they said, you know, they found this big lump on the side of her knee, took a biopsy. They said it's cancer. We were off the road in town, and she asked us to come to the apartment and pray for her. She said, I'm not having this. I'm not having this cancer. We prayed for her knee. She went back to the doctor. She wasn't going back to see if she had cancer anymore. She went back because they were kind of decide what kind of treatment they were going to take, what kind of course of action they were going to take. Went back to the doctor. They said, Mrs. Gall, there's been some kind of mistake. You don't have cancer. Amen. No, there was no mistake. Everything was just right. Amen. Praise God. No mistake at all. But I said all that to say this. Then she lived out her life. One day she was in her seniors group and one of their friends had died and went home to be with the Lord. And she told all her friends, she said, I wish it was me. I wish it was my turn. 1 week later, she was in heaven. Amen. Praise God. And just a couple days before that, she rode the bus to church. Amen. And then that was it. But don't you tell me that somebody can't change. She was in her 70s. And to me, who grew up knowing her whole life, she was an entirely different person. Man, she went from never setting foot in a church to a faithful church member who rode the bus, not just a Sunday morning member, but, you know, a special service member. Amen. That's saying something. Praise God. No, you may be thinking, well, I can't change. It's always been like this. God can change something that's always been like that, can he? You might be thinking for the vision in your life. Maybe you had some kind of dream to do something for the Lord, but you say it's too late now. I can't do anything for God. We've been talking time and time around here about during these meetings about Smith Wigglesworth. Some of you may have heard of him. How many ever heard of the man named Smith Wigglesworth? He was a British evangelist, and kind of the peak of his ministry would have been in the 20s and 30s, and very well known. I mean, a lot of people still know his name today, and we're talking coming up on, you know, almost 100 years since the peak of his ministry, really. But, you know, he was a plumber, and he did a lot of things. And, you know, we think about him. He's known for miracles. He's known for faith. He's well known in church circles. I go a lot of places. A lot of people have heard of Smith Wigglesworth. You know, he didn't even start in the ministry until he was in his 50s. And think about that. And he's made an impact that went generation after generation. I mean, didn't even start. That wasn't just the peak. I mean, he didn't even go out of the gate until he was in his 50s. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. So listen, it's not too late. And then, of course, there's Moses. He's a favorite. Everything that he's famous for, he was in his 80s when he did, you know. Moses of the Bible. Thank God. Some of you might have a vision from God, something you want to do for him. And you think, man, it's too late. I can't do it now. I want you to know that God specializes in cases that seem too far gone, that seem like there's nothing that can be done, that seems like they're down for the count, you know, that it's just happened too many times. I think about, so then there's Jairus. The people come from Jairus' house. They say, don't trouble the master anymore. It's too late. The girl's not sick, but she's dead. The girl has died. Don't trouble the master. Jesus says, no, don't fear, only believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you can just not fear and believe, you can see almost, you know, any situation turned around. You hearing me tonight? He said, don't fear, only believe. They went to the girl's house. There was those people. They're weeping. They're crying. There's the mourners there. They're making a big ado, you know, as the Bible says, carrying on and making all kinds of noise. They, you know, they're just moaning about the situation. Basically, it's too late. You know, nothing can be done. Jesus put them all out. And he says, the girl's not dead, but sleeping. He's got a very different perspective on the situation. I got news for you. Jesus has got a different perspective on your situation. Get his perspective on the situation. They're thinking it's death, it's finality. Jesus says, no, she's just sleeping. Let's wake her up. So then they're there. They're carrying on. They're crying. The girl's not dead, but she's sleeping. And then when Jesus says this, the Bible said that they laughed him to scorn. Listen, if you're going to have an impossible situation around, don't count on having the multitudes with you. Just settle that from the beginning. Don't expect to find comfort in the masses. Be ready to stand alone or at least with a few. Amen? Because when he walked into that situation, just settle it. Most people aren't water walkers. You know, even out of the 12 that were with Jesus, only one of them got out of the boat. So just settle it, man. When you're expecting an impossible situation to go around, don't count on having all the masses with you. Are you with me tonight? Amen. Just realize that if it's just you and Jesus, that's okay. Amen. So they laughed him to scorn. They weren't on board with him. He didn't let it discourage him. You know, maybe that would happen with you. He comes into this situation and he says, man, the girl's not dead, but she's sleeping. And they started to laugh him. They started to scorn him. You might come up against that kind of situation. I believe, God, that, you know, this is going to be turned around. My health is going to be turned around. I'll walk again. I'll run again. Whatever it is that I believe that I'll fulfill God's plan for my life. I know it's been a long time. I'm still going to do what God has for me to do. I'm going to fulfill his plan and purpose. Somebody might just flat laugh in your face. That's okay. You just keep going on with God. Don't fear, only believe. Don't expect the masses to be with you. Most of the masses, they're going to stay in the boat. Amen. But you can still walk on water. Praise God. And that's what he said. He said, little girl. Well, then he says just six words. He says to the girl, little girl, I say unto you, arise. A six-word prayer. That six-word prayer turned that impossible situation around. The girl got up, got out of the coffin. All the mourning stopped. Amen. All the crying stopped. And she was alive. And Jesus said, get her something to eat. And he delivered her unto her parents. And that seemingly impossible situation, that situation that seemed like it was too far gone, that situation that the masses were saying nothing could be done about, don't trouble the master. It's impossible. Jesus walked into that situation and he turned that terrible day into a testimony for his glory that I get to preach on tonight. Amen. Well, there's another one, and that's the story of Lazarus, Jesus's friend, you know, and he was the worst physical case that Jesus ever had to deal with. So I always like to say this. I know I said it several times here. I look around tonight, and I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you need from the Lord. But I do know this. It looks to me like everybody is at least 3 days ahead of Lazarus. Amen. At least. You at least got 3 days on him, just as you sit right now. It looks to me like pretty much everybody came in here tonight under their own steam. Amen. Glory to God. And if Jesus could help him, he could still help you. But you know, his situation was like that. They said it was too late. We're talking about Jesus' followers now. The inner circle. These people, this is what I'm talking about. Don't expect the masses to be with you when you take a bold step of faith, you know. Here he is. And he comes on the scene, and these people are people of faith. Mary's there, Martha's there, the disciples are there. These aren't, you know, the outsiders. These aren't the Pharisees that have been giving him a hard time everywhere. These are his people. And he gets there, and they said, you know, Master, if you'd been here 3 days ago, then maybe then you could have done something. But it's too late now. He already stinks. Man, how many of your life, you look at it and you say, man, this stinks. I've done that, man. I've let circumstances get the best of me, and I'm like, this stinks, man. Amen. It's not too late. Jesus could raise it up. Amen. I looked at some things, and I'm like, I just hate this. I hate the way it's going, man. He comes into this situation seemingly impossible, seemingly hopeless. Even the elect, man. I mean, even the faith people, the radicals, right? I mean, the people who had given up everything to follow Jesus around town, you know, and put down their nets and, yeah, we'll go with you. You know, they're cool. They've been with him on the whole trip. They're saying, okay, man, easy, easy, Jesus. 4 days, Jesus. He stinks, man. Don't take off the stone, you know. It's too late. That's what they're saying. It's too late. Have you ever felt like that? Too late for your vision. Too late to do what God's called you to do. Too late to think that you could have change or deliverance in your life. Too late for healing in that situation. Just live for it. Too far gone. No, no, the devil's a liar. God specializes in those situations that the world says is too far gone. If you'll just dare to believe, amen. And then Jesus makes this statement, you know. He makes it at the grave of Lazarus. He said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Man, is there an area of your life that you need to see the glory of God in? My God, take encouragement in that tonight. He said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see? You would see. Turn to your neighbor and say, you would see. Not you might see, not let's give it a shot, not, you know, the Holy Ghost slot machine, pull the lever and hope your number comes up. It's not a crapshoot, amen? Are you hearing me tonight? He said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see? You would see. Say it again. Turn to your other neighbor. Say, you would see. You would see the glory of God. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God in your health? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God in your finances? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God in your ministry and the call that he's placed on your life? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God in the work that he's called you to do and the mandate that he has on your life? Well, it's too late. No, it's not too late. Did I not tell you, Jesus said. No, it's too late. It's been 4 days. He said, well, did I not tell you? Did I not tell you that if you believed, it's been 4 days? That's all right. He already stinks. That's all right. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see? You would see in the impossible case. You would see in the case that the masses say it's too hard. Hallelujah. You would see in the case that man says it's impossible. Even Jesus can't do anything. Even the miracle people are saying it's too late for this one. He said, no, no. Did I not tell you that if you believed in that case, you would see the glory of God? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, then there was another case that seemed like it was too far gone, seemed that nobody could do anything about it. There was a man named Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us he was born of a virgin. The Bible tells us he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then, you know, he said that a lot of people, he had some disciples, they saw him as a leader. They saw him as the answer. They saw him even as the Messiah. And then one day he's arrested. They hang him on a cross and they crucify him and he dies. How many are familiar with the story? Amen. He dies. And, you know, even some of those 12, they thought it was too late. They thought it was over. They thought that it was too far gone. Are you hearing me tonight? Peter went back to fishing, denied Christ 3 times. He thought that this is it, man. It's over. There's going to be some times where it looks like it's over. There's going to be some times where if the devil can, if he can convince you of it, he'll have a good case that it's too late for you. It's too late for God's plan for your life. It's too late for what he's called you to do. It's too late for your healing. It's too late for you to be blessed the way that God wants you to be blessed. He was making this case to those disciples. You know, Thomas was at the point when Jesus came back where he said, I don't even believe he's raised up. I'm not going to believe unless I see those holes in his hands and I see it in his side. I don't believe it. He'd almost just about given up entirely. But it wasn't too late for God. Amen. it was a situation that they thought was out of, that it was too late, that God turned around. And he rose, amen. And he's alive today. He lived, he died. In 3 days he would rise. I love when Nate sings that song. And he did, and he is alive, amen. But I just wanted to give you a word of encouragement tonight. I believe that this was for God's will tonight, just to encourage you wherever you're at. Just what that scripture said, I will arise. I may fall, but I will arise. How many have it in your heart that you'll rise out of the situation that the enemy has tried to bring your way? Whatever it may be, sickness, disease, sin, amen, rise up. Just maybe mediocrity, rise up out of just life as usual every day, amen, and rise up and do what God has called you to do. And I believe there's people here, probably most of us, that there's probably some here that the enemy has been telling, it's too late for you, it's too late. Man, he has no new tricks. I remember when I was in college, you know, when I was in college, when I was in art school, the enemy, I'm just starting in the ministry. I just had a Bible study, and he would just bombard me with these thoughts of, it's too late for you. You've messed up in some way, and you're counted out. I didn't even know what I did. It was just, and you know, it sounds ridiculous. Anybody that I would have talked to personally would say, oh, that's silly. But it's funny how it could sound real to you if you listen to it. You got to be careful, because it sounded real to me. I believed it. I remember crying out to God, God, what did I do? Please don't let it be too late. And I thought for sure that I was counted. I haven't even started yet. And the enemy's trying to stop me, telling me it's too late for you. And you say, oh, that's ridiculous. Yeah, that sounds ridiculous. Listen, the things he's telling you are just as ridiculous. It's too late for you. You can't be healed. You can't make it. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's foolishness. Just believe God and go on with this plan for your life. Impossible situations that God's able to turn around. Hallelujah. But you got to have some fight in you. Amen. Paul said we're like boxers. You got to have a little bit of fight, you know. I think my brother, he told that story. This guy roundhouses him and the ropes are going and he feels like he's going down. And he said it was all I could do to stay in the fight at that time. And that's what you got to do, is stay in the fight. That's not the time to hit your knees and cry. Because we have a mean adversary, and he's not going to get you a tissue. Amen. As soon as you hit your knees, he's going to pound the snot out of the back of your head. Isn't that right? No, man. That's the time where you just keep swatting. Amen. Keep swinging. Stay in it. Praise God. You say, well, how do you do that spiritually? Because it's not a physical fight. But thank God he's given us some weapons. Amen. And the weapon in our hand is the sword of the Spirit. And when the enemy hits you and it seems like you're going down and the ropes are swinging and all that, you hit them with the word, amen. Hallelujah. Just like that scripture we talked about tonight. Don't gloat over me, my enemy. I will arise. I'll do what God's called me to do. I'll walk in the health that Jesus died for me to have. I'll live life and life more abundantly. I'll run my race and I'll finish it and I'll hear it, well done, good and faithful servant. I'll go the distance and I'll do everything that he has for me to do. I'll fulfill my plan and purpose on this earth. Amen. And you just hit him back with that. Swing back. Has this helped anybody? Let's thank God for it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Father, that it's not too late. Father, not a person here is it too late for tonight. Oh, thank you, Father. This is not just it's not just a syrupy message just to make people feel good. But Lord, it is based on reality. It is your word. It is the truth. Because Father, Jesus walks into situations that seem too far gone, that seem impossible to man, that almost everybody's been given up on. And he makes something beautiful out of them. And we thank you for it tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Everybody just say this. Say, it's not too late. It's not too late for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not too late for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.